Okay, did everybody get a study sheet? If not, they're in the very back. You can ask somebody in the back to grab you one. Okay. So imagine that there's a bank account that credits your account each morning, every morning, with $1,440. But it carries over no balance from day to day. And every night, the bank deletes whatever part of the balance you failed to use during that day. So what would you do if you had such a bank account where you had like $1,400 every day? Would you draw out every cent? Would you draw out every penny because you know it's not going to be renewed the next day? Right? Well, I'm saying in this world where I started with imagine. So we're playing the imagine game right now. So, but if you had this bank account, it deposits $1,440 every day into the account, but at the end of the day, it deletes whatever balance is left, whatever you didn't use. If you had this, would you use every dollar out of it every day? Or at least draw it out to do something with it, invest it, do something? Yes. That's what I thought. Well, every one of us has that very bank account, and it's called time. So every morning, it credits you with 1,440 minutes every day. And every night, it writes off as a loss whatever you failed to invest into a good purpose. And it carries over no balance. It allows for no overdrafting. And each day opens a new account for you. Each night, it burns the remains of the day. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. And there's no drawing against tomorrow. You can't borrow time from tomorrow. You must live in the present on today's deposits. Invest it so as to get the utmost in health, joy, and purpose. The clock is running, and we need to make the most of every day. So on your sheet, tonight's lesson is called Time is Non-Refundable. Use it wisely. So by way of introduction, time is free, but it is priceless. You cannot own it, but you can use it. You cannot keep it, but you can spend it. And once you've lost it, you can never get it back. We all have the same 24 hours in a day, yet we can all be guilty of thinking we don't have enough time. So what separates the successful and the impactful people from the crowd is not the amount of time they have, but how they use the time that they're given. And we're often guilty of pursuing the pleasures of this life instead of the treasures of eternal life. We must remember why we are here. Stop spending our time and begin investing it. You know, you think about it, like how did Bill Gates build an empire, or Elon Musk, or Jeff Bezos? Is it because he had more time than you do? No. Or how about, why is his name escaping me? David Livingstone, who's a famous missionary that converted thousands of people. Is it because he had more time than we do? Do you think? Do you think he had more time? Do you think he had more than the 24 hours that we get in a day? No, but he chose how to use the time that he had. All these men, anyone that you could look to, any women that have made a difference, they have the same amount of time that we do. Yet, man, I know I'm just as guilty, probably more guilty, to say I'm too busy. I'm too busy to do that. I'm too busy for that. Even if I don't say it, I'm thinking it. Like I should stop and do this, but I'm just too busy. We can all be very, very guilty of it. So tonight we're going to look at this because I feel like it is such a common theme for every single one of our lives, especially in 2020, where it seems like more and more and more we're just busy, 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 busy. But we often don't stop to think, are we busy with the right things? Are we busy with the things that please the Lord? Or are we busy with the things that please us, the things that we want? Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, and thank you for this lesson tonight. I know first and foremost, I needed it. I needed to get into your word and look at these things and have a fresh perspective and have an eternal perspective on the time that you've given each and every one of us, because we don't know when our last day is. We don't know when our last breath will be taken. So I pray that we would be investing the time that you've given us, and that you would open our hearts to hear from you tonight. As always, Lord, we just want to hear from you, not from me. Please clear me out of the way, and you speak directly to our hearts out of your word. because it is your word that has an effect. It worketh effectually in those who believe. So Father, I pray that we would have a heart of belief tonight, a heart that says, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, not just the things I want to do. And when I find myself going down that path of falling into doing the things that I want to do, that please me, that please my flesh, Father, please be faithful to quickly remind us, to quickly convict our hearts, to seek after the things that you treasure and the things that bring you joy. Because that is why we're here, to glorify you, to glorify your name, to know you and to make you known. Father, I pray that we would be doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first point is we need to stop convincing ourselves that we have so much time left in front of us. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse 4. It's so easy to do. You know, we think, I got my whole life ahead of me, or, you know, I'll get to that later, or whatever the case may be, but we don't know. And I know we hear it all the time, and I feel like because we hear it all the time, we don't ever actually hear it. Right? It comes in and it goes right out of our minds. And the very next decision that we have to make, or the next time it would really matter that for us to stop and think about this, it's gone. So I ask you tonight, will you think about this? Because we don't know how much time we have left. So Psalm 39, verse 4 through 6. He says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days an handbreadth. You guys know what that is, right? Right here. He says, that's how long my life is. You made my days as a handbreadth. Mine age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. Or we get worked up. We don't have that calm, that stillness. We're disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And I know, again, just as guilty, I can get extremely focused on work and providing and making money for my family. And what happens when you heap up all these treasures, right? Didn't Jesus tell us a parable about that, about the guy that knocked down his barns and built bigger barns so he would have more? And what does he say? Thou fool, tonight your life will be required of you. Now where's all your stuff going to go? You don't get to enjoy it. I'm just as guilty, if not more. Turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. We keep thinking we got all this time. Oh, I'm gonna invest so much. I'm going to just keep planning for the future. What happens if your future ends a week from now? And you're going to stand before Christ and you're going to look back at all the opportunities that you passed up on because you said, man, I got more time. I got time. I'll get to that. I got more time. We really need to stop convincing ourselves that we have that much time because we don't know. Psalm 90, verses 10 and 12. He says, the days of our years are 70. How many is that? 70. 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, how many are we at now? 80. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The word apply, you guys know an easy way to remember what apply means. It only shows up in that exact, the exact word apply shows up 4 times in the Bible. And you know what it deals with every single time? Not wisdom, but it deals with taking things from one place to another. You know what it is? From your head to your heart. Every time. The Bible talks about applying. It's talking about taking things that are in your head, the things that we know in our minds, and moving them down to our heart. That's applying what you know. It changes who you are. It changes how you live. It changes the way you make decisions. And he says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. See, we think we got the rest of our lives to figure it out. And we think about, when we think about wise people in general, what do you guys think? When you think of somebody who's wise, who comes to your mind right away? old. I heard a lot of old, right? Or grandparents, even dads, right? But we think wise, we think people older than us, right? Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom now. You don't have to be old to be wise, but you have to apply the things that you know. Apply the things that you learn. Don't let them just bounce around your head. Put them into practice. Because he says, we're looking at about 70 years. If by strength 80, and you know you always got the outliers. I worked for a 95-year-old woman today that you would think was 75. She's not the norm though, right? So the Bible says we're looking at roughly 70 to 80 years. And that's why you have that on your paper, and that's why I drew it up here. You have about 70 to 80 years. I want you to take your pen, and I want you to mark where you are on that timeline. Where are you on that timeline? Happy to say I'm still just before that 40 mark.
Over the hill yet.
Still before it. But in reality, biblically, my life's about halfway gone. Okay? If you're closer to this mark right here, this 20 mark, your life's about a quarter of the way gone. And I can promise you this, and anyone that is our age will tell you from, I'd say about here or so to here, feels like about a week. And the further you go along this line, the faster it goes, right? Einstein was right. Time is relative. It is absolutely relative. Though it doesn't change, it changes for you, right? When you're in high school, it's like, it takes forever to get through high school. It takes forever to get through school. And then you get out of school and you blink and you've been out just as long as you were in. It happens fast. That's why we need to number our days. We need to understand how frail we are, right? This is a full life. The Bible's talking about a full life. What about all those that die at 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old? That's a full life. Maybe I'll get it. Maybe I won't. I don't know. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. But you don't know. So learn to number your days. Talk to the Lord about it to change your perspective on time and how we're using it. How are we using what we've got? And James, we're not going to turn there, but to sum up in James 4, he says, what is your life? It is even but a vapor that appeareth for, and this is the exact wording, a little time and then vanisheth away. Our life is a vapor that appears for a little time. That's what we got. Claudia and I were talking about this on the way here tonight. You know, when you're dealing with things that are hard, life is hard, whether it's physical pain, emotional pain, challenges, trials in life, that's when time starts to slow back down for us. But when we think that this is what we're looking at for a life, in the grand scheme of eternity, it's not even a pen dot on the timeline. It's so short, yet we can get so caught up in all these things that we miss that. We miss beyond our life. We miss the investment in people, in others, whether it's leading people to Christ, whether it's just putting an arm around a brother or sister that needs some love, some compassion, as we talked about last week. You don't know the difference you might make in someone else's life or what legacy that leaves behind, even after we're gone, a legacy that's left here. Not because your name needs to be known, but because it may help people even after you're gone. Think about the authors of the Bible, right? How long have they been dead? We're approaching 2,000 years that they've been gone, yet their legacy lives on. Your legacy could live on to others. So we need to stop convincing ourselves that we have so much time. It's non-refundable, and we've got to be using it wisely. Next, if you're honest with yourself, and I've been honest with myself over this, studying this, and just my stomach gets in knots sometimes when I think about how much time I've wasted. Because we've wasted enough time. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 7. And I know we are all guilty of this. We are all guilty of it. And anyone who says they've never wasted time is a liar, and now they're sinning in that way. So, we've all wasted enough time. It's true. 1 Corinthians 7:29 through 31. This is Paul's advice. This is Paul's advice on how we should view our time that we have, how we should conduct ourselves. Starting in verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Our time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Again, we can spend so much time on things that ultimately don't matter. So many things that don't matter. I'm not saying you can't ever blow off steam and do something mindless. But we need to be asking ourselves, how much of our time is spent blowing off steam and doing something mindless? Like today, between phones, between video games, and really just anything that can consume our time, whether it's in the home, out of the home, the things that ultimately have no eternal value. How much of your time is dedicated to those things? I know it hit me hard, actually, a while back, probably closer to the end of last year, I think, is when I realized I spent way too much time on my phone, on social media. I'm not a post person. I don't post things, but I'm nosy, apparently, so I like to just read, and it hit me. Like, it made me physically sick. Claudia was gone. I'm home with both of my kids. And instead of spending time with them, they were watching TV while I was doing that. And after about an hour had passed, it hit me what was happening in my home. And I'm like, I'm done. This is disgusting. And I immediately just deleted it off my phone right then and there. Like, I'm done. I can't. What am I doing? It's so easy to fall into the trap of this and often not even realize it's happening, especially when you get into something like social media where, oh, I'm just going to check this one thing, and an hour or two later, you're going, what just happened? It's easy. So for me, that was a safeguard I had to put in place for myself, was just get rid of it, just get away from it. Games on the phone, stuff like that. Just getting rid of those things. Because the time is short. The time is short. So we got to watch how we live it. And then in Ephesians 5:15-16, he says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You notice he doesn't say, if you've wasted time. He just assumes we all have and says, now it's time to redeem it, because the days. And he said this back in whatever, 50 to 60 some A.D., right? He said, redeem the time because the days are evil. Boy, if the days were evil then, do you think they are now? The days are evil. They're just as evil, if not more. Especially as we approach that closer and closer point to when Christ calls us home. Deception and evil is just going to increase more and more and more and more the closer we get. So we got to redeem the time. And what he's saying is, you know that time that we've wasted on things that don't matter? Now, invest. Go invest. Redeem it. Right? It's like you have a ticket for a free snow cone, right? And you go redeem it. You get it. He's saying you got this time, redeem it. Use it wisely now, because it's not refundable. Next, consider what we spend our time on and prioritize it. Go to Luke chapter 12, Luke 12, 31. Consider what we're spending our time on, and we got to prioritize our time. Luke 12, 31. And don't turn there, but Proverbs 4, 26. Solomon says, ponder the path of thy feet. Ponder it. Think about it. Think about where you go and what you do. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. If we're going in ways that we know we shouldn't be going, if we're pondering it, it becomes more clear. Oftentimes, I feel like we just wander wander into circumstances or wander into things, and we don't ever take the time to think, why am I even doing what I'm doing? I've been there. I've been there many times, actually, where I'm like, what am I doing? So consider it. Ponder it. Luke 12, 31. You guys, again, are mostly familiar with this verse, but he says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's talking about food, raiment, all those things. But then he goes on to say in Luke, this is where it differs from Matthew, he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Because what gets your time gets your heart. It's the way it works. And he's saying we get so consumed with the things of this world and getting the things of this world that we're totally neglecting that bank account in heaven that's eternal, that has eternal rewards, eternal benefits, eternal blessings. We're satisfied with the temporary blessings of here and now that we read back in the other verses. It's all going to be done away. Everything of this earth now, what will be the former world, will be totally done away. But we're willing, easily, to exchange the eternal for the temporal. And I get it, because you can see it. You can feel it now. It feels good. That's why the Bible is so clear, and why this isn't the only time things like this show up, about investing into eternal things and investing into people, because that's what matters. On your sheet, says this was a quote I found by Andy Stanley. He says, we don't drift in good directions. We discipline and prioritize ourselves there. And that's how you deal with your time. You're not just going to wander into the right path. You're not just going to wander into living godly. It takes purpose. It takes priorities. It takes looking, actually taking the time to look. What does my day consist of? What does my average day consist of? How could I be using my time better? What can I cut out that I could use more wisely? Actually prioritizing it, thinking about it, disciplining ourselves in a way, purposing within ourselves. We're going to walk with the Lord. We're going to use our time that He's given us for Him. So the next point is, beware of laziness. Can I get one volunteer to go to Ecclesiastes 9, Mark? And then even after we read this, can you stay there? Because in the next point, we have another Ecclesiastes verse. So I'm just going to have you read them both. Mark, go to Ecclesiastes 9, everyone else to Hebrews 6, verse 10. You've got to beware of laziness. And most often when you see these points on the paper, it's because these are the very things that I struggle with. So this is what we talk about. And it's all been a self-examination for me of how have I used my time? How am I using my time that I have? So beware of laziness, because it can definitely creep in and it's subtle. Mark, can you go ahead and read Ecclesiastes 9, 10 through 12?
Yep. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in the evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in the evil time, when it falls suddenly upon them.
Exactly. Part of that, you don't know when your time is up. And he says, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it. Do it with all your might. Do it for the Lord, right? Because he says, too, the race, it's not to the swift. The battle's not to the strong. I can't remember it all. But the long and short, time and chance happens to everyone, right? Investing all we got into becoming the best at something, ultimately, does it matter? Does it matter if we've shared Christ with no one? Time and chance is going to happen to all of us. I was thinking about, it was actually the police chief in Barberton. I believe he was in his 50s, maybe late 50s. Always a little overweight guy. And so finally, I don't know if it was doctor's orders or what, but he starts working out, right? Starts losing weight. Starts feeling really good. And then dies of a heart attack. We don't know, do we? It wasn't to the swift or to the strong. It wasn't, oh, exercise, well, I'm going to live for another 40 years if I do this. Nope. We don't know. So we can't be lazy about things. That's why he says, do what you got to do, do it with your might. And do it unto the Lord. Because that's what matters. And then Hebrews 6, 10 through 12 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Though you may not see all the blessings or all the benefits in the here and now, he says God is not unrighteous to forget those things. As if to say, is a very righteous thing that you're doing, and God will remember it, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God's not going to forget about it. Let's not get lazy. Let's not think no one even notices, no one even cares. Oh, there's someone that notices and there's someone that cares. And he's going to remember when you stand before him. Verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not, what's that word?
Slothful
or lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises, that we would be not slothful. Or as Paul puts it in Galatians, that we would not be weary in well-doing. We wouldn't get tired of doing what's right and righteous and doing well to people. That we wouldn't get tired in it. That we would keep pressing on. We can't get lazy about these things. It's easy. It is so easy to. Because the thing that goes along with busyness, in my world anyway, is tiredness. I'm busy. I'm always going. So when I can finally hit the brake pedal, I'm like, done. Just done. Right? Let's go to bed. It's only 8 o'clock. I know, but I'm done. I can't function now. So we got to be careful about these things. And it's all about how we use our time. It's non-refundable, and we have to use it wisely. We can't get in the habit of being lazy about things. And the next thing that was something else that was new to me, not new to me, but I finally got a better understanding of this, but do not neglect sleep. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 127, and then Mark, if you'd say Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. And I came across a very interesting guy who studies sleep. He's been studying sleep, its effects, its benefits, why we do it, what happens to our brains when we sleep, what happens to our bodies when we sleep. He's been studying this, like I said, for 20 years, 20 or more years. And he brought up something interesting, and that's within our body, we have this thing called the fat cell. And what the fat cell does, right, is it stores fat for us. So in the event, whether it be through tragedy or just starving ourselves, whatever, your body will feed off of that if you can't eat, right? Because we're familiar with that. That's what fat's for. But he said there's something interesting about the brain and its processes. And when it gets damaged, because we don't sleep enough, the brain doesn't have a fat cell. You can't just go, oh, well, I'll catch up later. Like with food, you starve yourself, your body starts burning fat, but then you eat and you're right back where you were. With sleep, it doesn't work that way. The damage goes on. And it's like, oh, well, I had to go all week with only getting 5 or less hours of sleep. And so, you know, Saturday and Sunday, I'm just going to sleep in. I'll get 10 hours, 12 hours. That'll get me caught up. The brain doesn't work that way. And he said, it's interesting. They've been trying to figure this out. Now this guy is, you know, he views things through an evolutionary standpoint. But throw that aside and take it from the God standpoint. He said, human beings are the only animal that willingly deprive themselves of sleep for no real benefit. Because studies they do, we think, oh, I'll sleep less, I'll get all this stuff done. But what really happens is your productivity goes. And when you're in a state where you're sleep deprived, you are the worst person to judge your condition because your brain isn't operating properly. So this was a big thing that really hit me is we do this, right? Oh, well, then, yeah, okay, if I got to meet with somebody, then I'm going to have to do it at 10 o'clock at night. I just won't sleep. And then, you know, I'll be doing all these things. No, it's actually, that's going to lead you to an earlier death because your brain can't heal without sleep. It's one of its biggest functions is to purge any of the toxins that are in your brain. And it can't do that unless you're getting the proper sleep. So don't neglect sleep is another key thing when it comes to time. So we have to prioritize things. We have to understand where our time is being spent so that we can allow ourselves the time to recover, to be healthy, to stay healthy. Because if we're all unhealthy and we're all sleep deprived and we're all walking around aimlessly, how effective are we going to be then? Still not effective. So Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2, Solomon says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows." Because that's what's going on when we're sleep deprived. You're eating the bread of sorrows because you're exhausted. "For so he," God, "giveth his beloved sleep." It's important. It's a gift. We can read over these things, but now something that God wrote thousands of years ago, now science is finally catching up to say, oh, here's why we actually need it. They said it makes no sense, at least from an evolutionary standpoint, for us to even sleep, right? We're vulnerable to predators if we're asleep. You can't procreate if you're asleep. What's the point of it? Why? Why do we have this period of time where we just zonk out? It is. It's a weird thing. But God knows how he made our frame. He knows how he formed our brains. And he knows exactly what our body needs to stay functioning the right way. So don't neglect sleep. It is so key. Mark, can you read Ecclesiastes 5? 5:12. Yes, I'm sorry.
"The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep."
There you go. Talks about working hard. Not working to get a bunch of stuff, but working hard, right? Watching where we're investing our time, not wasting it, but investing it. And when we're working hard, our sleep is sweet. But when your motive is to get, it says it will not suffer you to sleep. Because then you're thinking about, how do I now keep the stuff? How do I get more of the stuff? Because if you read through that entire book of Ecclesiastes, you're going to find it never satisfies, ever. It can never satisfy something that only God can satisfy. So don't neglect the sleep. We don't need the stuff. We need to be healthy. We need to be functioning. We need to be in our right minds. Because we have a very, very high calling. It's so high that one man died for you to have it. He gave everything he had. So don't neglect sleep. And then finally, invest your time. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, verses, we'll start in verse 9, verse 9 and 10, and then jump down to 13. It says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." The Lord gets the first of everything you've got, including your time. Verse 10, "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." You want to be fulfilled? You want to be satisfied? God first. God first. You don't got to worry about all the other stuff. He takes care of his own. Jump down to verse 13. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." Again, we hearken back to Psalm 90, verse 12, about applying our hearts unto wisdom when we know how short our days are. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Right? It's not just knowing things, it's understanding them, knowing how they work in real life. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Nothing you can compare to having wisdom and understanding. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. It's wisdom and it's understanding. It's taking these things that we know and then doing something with them. Go ahead and turn to Mark 8. Instead of investing in things that money can buy, invest in eternity. And most of you are familiar with this. If you've been through discipleship, you had to memorize it. Mark 8:36, verse 37. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What will it matter at the end of it all? How did you invest your time? How did you use your time? Was it for him or was it for you? Romans 12:1, you guys are pretty acquainted with, right? Thank you, Landry. It's our headline verse. I was kind of hoping more of you would chime in, but that's okay. Landry pulled the weight for you guys. Go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy 2. That's where we're going to wrap this up. 2 Timothy 2. It's your reasonable service. So as I've been asking you for a few weeks, sacrificial service is your reasonable service, right? It's reasonable. So has your service been reasonable over this last week? Has it been reasonable? Or has it been lackluster? That's between you and the Lord. But how are you using your time? Are you investing it? Is it a sacrifice of yourself, of your desires to serve Him, of your money at times, whatever it is it a sacrifice? If not, it's okay. Today, it can start today. It can change everything. We have this mindset. We understand how short our time is, and we don't get any of it back. Once it's gone, it's gone. So we need to invest it. 2 Timothy 2:22. So instead of getting caught up in the things of this world, the things that we want, the things of our flesh, Paul says, flee also, run away from, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Instead of getting caught up spending our time on things that don't matter, get caught up in righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Get caught up in those things. Invest in those things and flee the youthful lusts. Right? He says they're youthful, as if to say, it's time to grow up. All of us. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. I know I got a lot of growing up to do. But we need to flee those things and then follow after. Invest in these things. These are what matter and these are what make a difference. So this final quote by a guy named Jim Rohn said, time is more valuable than money. You can get more money, but you cannot get more time. And that is the truth. We can get so caught up in money and in stuff, but you don't get more time. You don't. So what I want to do tonight is what we were kind of doing when we were breaking off before. Maybe we'll go about, I'd say 10 minutes. 10 minutes. So let's try and stay on point. But got Shannon and Claudia are here. Lee and I are here. So guys, if you would kind of divide in half. Ladies, if you would divide in half. Shannon, would you go with the group? Claudia with the group? Lee with the group? Me with the group? And let's talk about these things. Because I put a few things on your paper. What gets your time? What gets your time? Let's think about it practically. Let's get started tonight. Clearly, it's not going to be exhaustive in 10 minutes, but what gets your time? And it can be good things, and it could be things that you're sitting here thinking, well, that's wasteful. That's okay. It's about getting things down so you can actually see. What are you doing? What am I doing? What gets my time? What gets your time? And then, after that, what can you invest your time in instead? Is it that you are already investing your time, but man, maybe I could do it more. Maybe I could cut this out. So what can you invest your time in? And then finally, what will you do starting this week to invest your time better than you have been? So let's go ahead and break off into some groups, and we'll get back together here in about 10 minutes.